following program is a collection of stooges talking about the happenings in the automotive detailing industry. It is meant to be comedic and informative. The opinions expressed on the show do not necessarily reflect the beliefs of their peers, their boss, or their ad partners. There may be some cuss words because that's how grown-ups talk in the real world. If you are a young, please seek permission before watching or listening any further.
Welcome to the Detail Solutions Podcast. My name is Alex Russell, and I am your host. I'm going to start off with a little something special. So if you guys are listening to this and not watching it, you can go check out Facebook. You probably have already seen it, but they're here. The Red Delight wax with Noxie's stupid face on it, eating a donut. So the waxes are in, super limited edition. Only made 50 pots. I got about 40 to sell because 10 of them were pretty much claimed already. And then on top of that, I got about another 8 sold. So did something pretty cool with it, just to let you guys know. Obviously, Red Delight, as he's eating a donut, we wanted to incorporate Reds in there somewhere. So actually Rick Vanderlee from Angel Wax came up with the title or the name Red Delight for the donut. And then, it's yellow. You know, we went with a little nicotine kind of, look since, Noxie loves to smoke his cigarettes. And then it's got a nice little sweet smell to it to go with that donut. So get your Red Delight. You can message me. They're $60 shipped anywhere inside the United States. Outside the U.S., just have to pay extra for shipping. I've already got one going to Sweden. So, Vanhar, I believe that's how you say your name. Appreciate it, buddy. Thank you. So, that's a wax. If you want it, hit me up. Let me know. Where you're not going to be able to find that wax is on the website. The DetailSolutionsPodcast.com has everything about the podcast that you need, except for the wax, because that's a little difficult to do. But basically, it's going to have all our links to where you can find us. Obviously, you're listening to us, so hopefully you already know where to find us. But if you're just stumbling across the podcast, that's where you're going to go. You're going to find our links to our Instagram and our Facebook and the links to where you can find us on Apple and Spotify. It's also going to have our preferred vendor page, our wonderful ad sponsors who take care of us. Oh, wait a second. I just realized I didn't. Oh, wait. Yeah, never mind. I'm an idiot. Sorry. That's what happens when you haven't done a podcast in a while. You forget what you're doing. So, yeah, our wonderful ad partners who help the podcast run, do the things that that I do with this, be able to travel to the places that, you know, we're going to go this year. And all that fun stuff. So yeah, you can go there. You can see them. It gives you a little bit about their brand. It's going to have a quick link that's going to take you directly to their website. And if they have a coupon code, it's going to have the coupon code so you can save some money. If not, when you contact them, you're just going to mention that you heard it on the podcast and they're going to take care of you. You know, you spend some money with them, they'll spend some money with me. We'll all have a good laugh. So hashtag money, money, funny. And then we have the wonderful drip shop where you can find the t-shirt merch, the Kong shirts, the logo shirt, the embroidered hat is all there. You can go check it out. And let's see, we're YouTube. Got the YouTube up and going again. I've got to catch up. I think I'm about 2 or 3 behind, but the new YouTube page is the Detail Solutions Podcast. And then the number 1, So usually on Wednesday nights when we do the What's on Your Minds, the live streams, it's live streamed to the YouTube. And then when I get a chance over this weekend, I'll probably go through and get some of the past couple episodes uploaded so you guys can watch it on YouTube. Also, the Detail Solutions Pod on TikTok. Please go like, share, follow, and subscribe us on there. Subscribe to us on there. That's where, yes, I have not done any lives yet. I just don't know what to say in a live, honestly. But I have been putting up some of the Opus clips from these past episodes. That seems to be pretty fun. And then making some cool stuff with CapCut and whatnot. Hopefully you guys like the one that I did with me and Noxie. I'm using air quotes where I played both parts, me and Noxie. It was pretty funny. I had a good chuckle out of it. Anyways, all right. And then if you are looking to do some training, Reds in Marietta, Georgia is hosting the Jess Carr / Angel Wax training on May 3rd through the 5th. You can check that out on the angelwaxus.com website. You can go there and purchase your spots for the training. I will be at that one hanging out with Tommy and Rick and Rain and then busting balls with Noxie. You know, we'll have a good time with that one. That should be a fun time. Unfortunately, the Aquatech Rupes training has been postponed at this time. So if you were planning on going and in like the next couple of weeks or whatever to that one, it's been postponed. You'd have to get with Mike at Aquatech. I don't know when they're rescheduling or whatever for that one. But hit up Aquatech if you're looking for to do any training with Aquatech, and we can get you taken care of there. All right. I think that's it. Go like, share, follow, subscribe, hit that notification button anywhere that you're listening to the podcast. Please leave us a 5-star review. I really appreciate that type of stuff. It helps out. I'm going to jump into the first commercial break here and come back with Matt Good. Talk to him. All right. We'll be right back. The leading provider of tent, paint protection film, and ceramic coatings. Experience the transformation as you cool down your vehicle and elevate its curb appeal with Audubon's Window Tint. Ditch rock chips and scratches by fortifying your paint with Audubon's cutting-edge paint protection film. And for an additional safeguard, add a ceramic coating. Backed by an unwavering lifetime warranty, Audubon's products form automotive armor with no limits. Visit AudubonFilms.com to delve deeper into the realm of automotive care and protection. All right, Matthew Good, how you doing, buddy?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Can't complain. It's Friday. The kid's gone off for a sleepover, so don't have to deal with her staying up late and doing some being loud with her friends on the phone and everything, keeping me awake.
So, I got four. I know all about it.
Yeah, man. You know how that is, dude. They hit Friday and it's like, you know, dude, she'll stay up till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and with her friends on the phone. And, you know, we don't have a big house. I mean, she's on the opposite side of it, but, you know, shit, you can still hear them when they're giggling and squealing across that house. So. Yeah, man. So listen, let's jump into this. What's the where, when, how, why did you get into detailing?
I got into detailing very young. I was born with gas in my veins already. My dad's a hot rod builder, professional fabricator, painter, paint body guy. So he's been doing that way before I was even born. So I was raised in the garage. I was either playing sports or in the garage building hot rods. And I started, I guess around 6 or 7, I started helping my dad clean up the interiors after he'd get done painting somebody's hot rod. And then I started getting paid somewhere before 10 by the clients that he was painting for. And then about 10, I started helping him wet sand and buff paint jobs after he got done with those. And It's always been a side gig till 10 years ago when I took the leap and went full time.
Nice. So before you went full time with it, I mean, were you doing anything else and doing this part-time or?
Yeah, I've always done detailing on the side. I've always built cars. It's always been like cars have always been my main hobby. That's why I enjoy what I do so much. That was always just car money was the detailing stuff. I had no plans of owning a detailing business. Absolutely zero. I always had good jobs. Around 2005, I wrecked my motorcycle, street bike, was in a coma, turned my foot completely around, broke my ankle, bones came through the sky. I'm messed up pretty good. Got out of that fine, healed up, went back to work, still did detailing on the side. And about 2012, I couldn't hardly walk. Like I was dragging my left leg behind me. And my Candace, my fiance, and my mom talked me into looking in to see if somebody could fix my ankle. Well, we found somebody to fix it. It fixed it, but gave me a bone infection. So in 14, when I started my business, into 15, I had 21 surgeries chasing a bone infection lost my good paying job. 6 months after I bought my first home, had my first kid, and Candace was working in a bank making $9 an hour, got rejected for food stamps, and I'm not getting any money in. So I was out detailing on a knee scooter in the garage with the cage screwed into my leg just so we could make ends meet. And that's when it was Candace's decision. She said, now's the time to start your business. And I'm like, we got two pennies to rub together. We ain't starting nothing.
Yeah.
Here we are 10 years later.
Jeez, man. That's crazy. So, I mean, obviously they were able to fix the bone infection because, I mean,
No, it's still there.
No, it's still there.
Eventually, somewhere down the line, I will lose this leg from the knee down. That's why I'm so careful on it now. If I break it, it's gone.
Wow.
Eventually, down the road, that infection is going to get worse because I don't technically do everything I'm supposed to do because I'm not going to take antibiotics every single day for the rest of my life because they make me feel like shit. So eventually I probably will lose that. And it's nobody can get it out. And I finally just got done with having surgeries because if you look at an x-ray, my bone in my leg's got a big spot in it where they go in there and dig out the bone trying to get the infection out.
Yeah.
And it was almost once a week for months that I was going in and having surgery, going in. And every time they cut you open, go in your ankle, scoop some stuff out. And I was like, look, I'm done.
Dang. And is that all from that accident? Caused from that accident?
No, the surgery to fix the accident is what gave me the bone infection.
Oh, really?
Yep.
So, I mean, is there any way of like compensation for negligence or whatever? Or is it?
I think we're out of the time frame. And really, I didn't pay for it per se. The doctor kind of wrote it off. Because I refused to pay for it, you know, after about 2 years of him sending collection letters, they just kind of wrote it off. And I was like, you know, it was an accident at the end of the day. We make accidents. We burn paint and shit, you know.
Yeah.
Did it ruin my life for a little bit for about a couple of years? Yeah. But, you know, he did his job. He fixed my ankle. It's better than it's been in the last 15 years. A little bone infection that makes my ankle swell up every now and then, I can deal with it.
Wow, that's crazy, man. Yeah, I mean, that's, dude, I don't know, more power to you, man. I mean, like, to have to know that one day you're probably going to lose it and, like, yeah, I don't know, man. I would be like,
the last surgery, he was like, is it out? And I was like, no, and they went in and did it. And he's like, all right, well, it's not out yet. So you got a couple options. He said, one, we can have another surgery. Two, we can take your leg. Or three, you can take antibiotics for the rest of your life. And Candace was like, just let him take the leg. And I'm like, no, this leg's been here for 30 something years. I was like, just give me the antibiotics. I'm done. And she's like, I can't believe, because she'd been to nursing school and she understands all this stuff more than I do.
Yeah.
I'm fine, babe. Give me some antibiotics. I'm ready to roll. Let's go detail a car.
Yeah, no, dude, that's crazy. But hey, I mean, it doesn't seem to slow you down. I mean, you seem like you've been rocking and rolling and, you know, whatever. Not one bit,
really.
Yeah, no, dude, that's awesome, man. So I mean, when she's like, you know, start your business and you're like, oh shit, we ain't got no money. How does that go? Like, how do you, You know, I mean, because I mean, I know everybody always kind of sits down and goes like, you know, yeah, it's like I made the decision to do it. But, you know, there's always more talking and more, you know, thinking before you just automatically like, yeah, I'm going to start my business. So, you know, like how does that? Mine,
there wasn't much thinking to it because I didn't have no other options. I couldn't be, I'm still having surgery, so I couldn't be released from work.
Gotcha.
Like I said, we just had a baby. We just bought a house 6 months earlier. Bills are due, stacking up. I had no other options. It was either start my business, and I did everything online myself because I couldn't afford to pay a lawyer. I couldn't afford to do none of that stuff. So I did everything online myself, got it up and running, started on the knee scooter, started in the garage of my house until the HOA got pissed because there was cars everywhere. Because we lived on the last street in the neighborhood, and there was a dead end on the house next to me to the left.
Okay.
And then my driveway and then the side yard. And I'd have both the driveway, the side yard, and the dead end full of cars. And they was like, no, you can't do that. So then my first shop, I borrowed $1,000 from a buddy and I sold a gun to get the first and last month's rent to get in there. And luckily it was a month by month lease. So I was like, perfect. You know, if I don't make it, I don't owe you for the full year or whatever. Got in there, was in there for about 6 years. And that was probably the roughest 6 years of my life starting a business. That's why I got gray hair.
Dude, I mean, listen, I think I'm in my eighth year now, and I'm not saying it's any easier. But dude, you're absolutely right. I mean, I feel like that first, you know, 5 to 7 years was the toughest. Well, you know, the first three was really tough. You know, but by then I had started, you know, getting some, you know, some momentum and some returning clients and word of mouth that it was getting a little easier. But still, you know, you're right. Like, you know, all the way up to like year six and seven, it's, you know, you're still, you know, tough. And I forget who I heard. I can't remember if it was Rennie. It might have been Rennie, but you know, I think it was Rennie saying that, you know, that first 3 to 5 years is the make or break, you know, like if you can kind of get to that, you know, then, you know, you should at least, you know, hopefully be able to keep on rolling. So yeah, I can definitely agree with you there.
July, we celebrate 10 years.
Nice, man. Congrats, you know. So when you started it, you know, in your house and everything like that, did you already have like any clientele from you know, the car stuff or whatever to kind of help you? Yeah.
I've always had good word of mouth just because, like, I kind of started it not riding my dad's coattails, but kind of riding my dad's coattails. Cause at that time, you know, hot rodders they're all DIY guys. They're not now they pay people, but when they're, you know, they built all their own cars, they're not going to pay some kid at the time to detail their cars. So everybody knew my track record around here. Louisville's big, but not huge. So everybody knew my track record of my dad's. It's the same way my apple didn't fall from my dad's tree. We're still connected. So like my dad's the same as me. He does phenomenal work. You can't find anybody that'll say anything outside of that, except for my dad's an asshole. And it's the same thing with me. around here at least. And my dad's always done good work. It was always drilled in my head that anything worth doing is worth doing right. Everything I do to the highest quality, and especially starting out. Well, I still do to this day, because I'm still the main one behind the polisher, unfortunately. We're working to get out of that. But everything I do to this day is, it doesn't matter if I'm on an e-scooter. Just 2 weeks ago, I did a full week with an abscess tooth with my face out to here. I've worked through kidney stones for 6 months and it's in and out of surgeries like Nate Warren. It doesn't matter what I'm going through. I can always get the shit done. So I kind of started out with, you know, just knowing Dave Good, Matt's dad, he does quality work. Matt's going to do quality work too. I had pretty good word of mouth. I was doing a couple little car lots around town already. I picked up more car lot stuff. I started advertising on Facebook more. That was back on Craigslist. I used to get a shit ton of work off Craigslist.
Really?
The first like 2 years of business, of course, I don't even know if Craigslist is still up, but I used to get a ton of work off of there.
Yeah. I don't know if it's still up anymore either. Yeah, I don't know. I've never even thought about
it. It was basically, if I wasn't working, my feet was on the ground somewhere trying to get something in the shop or in the garage at the house to feed the family and make sure bills are paid. And,
yeah,
you know, the traditional dad role, keep all the stress off the family, wear it on your shoulders and take on the world.
No, with that.
Luckily, it all worked out, but it sucked. But I will say those were the worst, but at the same time, the best years of my life starting a business, because my family is so close now from the shit that we had to go through together, from foreclosures on houses, losing two cars. We lost more. I've been at rock bottom more than I've ever been up. But because of all that, the blessing out of it is my family is tight.
Yeah.
I'm blessed. My old lady's still with me through all the bullshit that we had to go through, but I wouldn't change a thing, to tell you the truth, because I don't think I'd be the man and where I'm at now if I didn't have to go through that shit.
Right, right. Well, that's kind of what they say, right? Like those hardships, you kind of go one or two directions, right? Like it's going to completely rip you apart, you know, or you're going to bond together and, you know, do everything that you can to support each other to make it through it. So, dude, that's awesome that, you know, that you guys did that. Cause, you know, like I said, those first 3 years, man, like, you know, I thought for sure Michelle was going to kick my ass to the curb a couple of times. Cause, you know, like, you know, you don't have work and you're just sitting around and you're trying to figure out, you know, how do you get work? And meanwhile, she's going to a job and, you know, she's just more mad that I was, you know, at home. I mean, even though I was kind of carrying my weight at the house, you know, doing stuff around the house that she wouldn't have to do, but still, you know, like, so, but yeah, I mean, I feel kind of the same way, you know, like we've made it through now, you know, I mean, we still, you know, obviously have our ups and downs. I mean, that's kind of the shitty thing about this business has a lot of ebbs and flows, you know, the busy season, the slow season. And it's funny because she knows it, you know, I mean, we've been doing it long enough now, you know, but still when it's slow, she still gets on my ass a little bit, you know?
Yep.
So, but yeah, no, that's awesome, man. And you said you're trying to work towards like getting some people to help you out. I mean, is that kind of more of a necessity to kind of take some of the pressure off of you and maybe not work so
hard
so much on your leg? Or
so about 2 years ago, we made the second jump. We added Candace to the business, so now we're both employed by Goods Custom Garage. That's been great. She's a huge help. I don't have to answer the phones. I don't have to do none of the scheduling. I don't have to track the leads. I don't have to do none of that stuff.
Right.
When she came in, I made a position for her because we kind of got away from doing just regular detailing organically because I just wouldn't show it the little bit that we did do. I had it completely gone. I'm like, yes, finally, no more detailing. We can do paint corrections, coatings, and PPF only. We're good. Well, she was with a marketing agency and then got laid off. So I was like, well, come to work. So she started doing interiors and detailing, and she is phenomenal, like way better. And I've been doing it for 30 more years than her. Well, we rewind. So 2 years ago, we lost a guy that had been with us for like 7.5 years, just out of nowhere, just left us, decided to start his own detail business. Well, Candace technically maybe cleaned her cars a couple times up until then, just from watching me for, you know, the 10 years before that we was together doing it. She had to jump in because I was just standing out there, you know, in the middle of the floor, like, oh my God, I got all this stuff to do. You know, Jason just left me. You know, what am I going to do? And she's like, I'll get the details. And I'm like, you know how to detail. And she's like, well, train me. I said, at this point, I don't care. Just go get them, because if you get a bad name on that side and then we don't start doing details, I don't give a shit. Just get the job done and get it out
of right.
here. And she jumped in and she was phenomenal from the get-go. And I'm like, all right, well, maybe this will work. And then she came on full time. Now she's doing paint corrections, coatings. She's helped a lot with PPF as of recently. So I'm trying to get her more into doing that. Actually, Tuesday, Barry Thiel's sending all the SB3 trainers up to Colorado. And we're going to Rupez's headquarters. And we're all getting paint correction and sanding training. Candace is coming along as well. So that'll be really good for her because she doesn't have the, you know, 30-something years experience that I do. She's good, but she doesn't have the experience. So that's going to help her get the experience because she already helps me in my trainings anyways. But she's been a good asset. But I'd like to get to the point to where I've went through enough shit in the 10 years I've been in business to build this business and establish my name and establish the good name and the good reputation. I think it's time for me to start backing out more and become more of the owner instead of the owner operator.
Right.
And we're working towards that. I know it's, you know, I'm just working class white trash from Louisville, Kentucky, and I'll always be at no matter how much money I make, but it's, everything's been a learning experience. Like I said, I never wanted to work or never even wanted to be an entrepreneur. I didn't have nobody in my family who was an entrepreneur. Right. I'm the first one. So I kind of got forced into it. Now I'm like, well, you know, I see the luxuries of owning a business. I still work my ass off, but I don't miss anything with my kids. I don't miss any school activities. I coach football. I'm the football coordinator. They're getting ready to play basketball. I don't miss none of that stuff. And I wouldn't be able to do that if I had a normal job. And of course I'm in business for different reasons now than I was when I started.
Right.
But I'd like to get to where I'm a big family man, so I want to spend more time with my family, especially to pay them back for all the shit they had to go through as daddy's chasing the dream.
Yeah, it's that work-life balance, man. You know, I mean, it's the thing that I've constantly have talked about on the podcast that, you know, the younger guys, I don't think fully understand right now. And I mean, even maybe some of the older guys, because, you know, they're just, you know, hey, I gotta make sure I'm putting food on the table. Gotta make sure I'm putting food on the table. You know, and that's kind of the same for me too, but like, I want to be able to do it, you know, in a way that doesn't take away from me being able to spend time with my family. Right. Like, I don't want to be
absolutely
working in the shop until midnight, you know, and I'm not, you know, being able to watch Haley grow or, you know, do the cheerleading stuff with her or whatever, or even have that time with Michelle, dinners and, you know, whatever. You know, so I think you just have to be, you know, it's the whole, you know, Uncle Scrooge, you know, work smarter, not harder mentality, you know, and, you know, yeah. So, you know, I've talked about it a lot of times before. I mean, yeah, I've got a little, you know, garage space, you know, it's big enough for me. It's less than $400 a month. You know, I don't have a lot of overhead, so I don't need to do, you know, all these crazy jobs and work crazy hours or whatever, because I've got huge overhead that I've got to, you know, pay for first before I start making any money. You know, I can do, you know, I mean, Jesus Christ, I can do an interior detail and my rent's paid for the month, you know, like, you know, yep. And then, you know, and that's for the most part is one of the bigger expenses. You know, everything else is small stuff, you know, insurance and phone and website and, you know, whatever. I mean, that's all kind of small stuff. So no, I congratulate you for that, man, because I think that is, you know, a key component in probably what's kept your family together, you know, through everything is the fact that you still were there, you know, you still made time on top of doing the work and everything.
I think it's a key component in a successful business too, because if you don't have that, the balance is never going to be completely balanced.
No.
I started out, it was, I didn't leave the shop for 2 weeks. I didn't go home. I took a whore bath in the bathroom.
Yeah.
I just had to get that work done to get the bills paid. But now it's I'm probably damn near about even, but sometimes I got to work late.
Sometimes you got to work a little late. Sometimes you might have to work the weekends or whatever, but you know, like you said, you try to figure that balance. Like I'd rather work, you know, a Saturday and a Sunday sometimes, you know, especially if it's good money. Like I'm just not going to go in on a Saturday and Sunday for, you know, $100 wash or whatever. But, you know, if somebody really wants a, you know, coding job and, you know, they work Monday through Friday and they can only do it on the weekend, I'll sacrifice that, because then what I'll do is I'll either go like, okay, well, I can take 2 days during the week off to make up for it, you know, and do the stuff that I would have done on the weekend. Or I can still book stuff during the week, but what I'll do is I'll schedule stuff that I can do in the morning, and then I'm done by the time, you know, Haley's out of school. So I'm going to pick her up from school, and then I can take her home and, you know, do stuff around the house, take her to cheer and everything. So yeah, I mean, there's definitely, you gotta, you know, you gotta figure it out. I mean, sometimes you might work 7 days a week, but are you working seven full days? You know, no,
yeah.
I'm probably working, you know, two or three full days and the rest of them are half days or whatever. So, but listen, let's jump into a commercial break real quick and we'll come back and finish this up. Be right back.
Knows what a detailer wants. Aquatech is a company founded by detailers for detailers.
Aquatech Coatings is a company that was founded on the frustrations that we all face as professional detailers. And that is why we set out to build a company that eliminates those frustrations. To provide excellent customer service, quality products, reliability, efficiency, products that check all the boxes as professional detailers we need and we want.
Find out why so many detailers around the world are loving the Aquatech difference. Join our team today at aquatechcoatings.com.
All right. So you mentioned getting into PPF. Like how long have you been doing PPF for?
A little over 3 years now.
Oh, okay. Do you find that's been a big improvement in your business model?
I like the paychecks. I personally hate PPF.
Yeah.
I hate it because paint corrections and coatings, I guess because I start, or well, not coatings. Coatings never really kicked my ass. Paint corrections, I guess because I started at such a young age and I'm 41 now, I don't remember the ass beating learning that. And the way that I'm set up is if I'm not interested in it, like I'll put no effort into it because I don't give a shit. If I'm interested in it, like anything car related, I can do anything. I can paint cars. I can build hot rods. I can do air suspension, hydraulics. I can do pretty much anything to a car. And I'm pretty good at mostly everything to a car because I was interested in it. My dad's a jack of all trades. When he was teaching me stuff on how to take care of the house and change outlets and stuff, I didn't give a shit about that. I didn't pay attention. Same thing with sports. I really like football. I really like baseball, and I excelled at both of those. So I think, and I'm very picky on my work, and PPF, at least at my stage right now, and you know, my mentors and stuff that I talk to that do PPF that have been in doing it for 10 years, they're all like, you know, you don't get real good until about 6 years. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm gonna make it 6 years because I hate this shit. But I'm too damn picky, and you can't be that picky with it.
Yeah.
You're gonna have a defect here or there, but
yeah,
I'm not as bad now as I was, but I'd start out and I'd have like one little itty bitty speck that I probably could have got out of a hood or something, but I'd rip that whole damn hood off and start over again until I got it perfect. And I started looking at all the numbers and I'm like, oh my God, I'm making money, but I'm not making that much money with the stuff I'm tearing off. And it's a big learning curve. And
it is the guy who taught me, you know, he told me the biggest hurdle that I'm going to have overcoming, or the biggest hurdle I'm going to have to overcome, is turning off my detail brain. Cause he said, because like, even when we were doing the training, right? Like I was pointing stuff out and whatever. And he's like, you know, like just in the paint, like I was like, oh, you know, this, that, you know, do we need to compound and polish this first? And he's like, we're just doing training. Like it's not a big deal. And he's like, you're looking at it too much. You know, he's like, I'm going to teach you. But, you know, he said kind of the same thing. Like you're going to have some debris, you know, like it's just impossible unless you're in like a clean room. Right. The key is to try to minimalize it to where it's not as bad or whatever. But that's what he said. He said your biggest setback is going to be your detailer brain. He said, unless you can turn it off and go, okay, I'm laying film and this and the other, he said, then you'll be okay. But he goes, if you can't turn off your detail brain, he said, it's going to be a nightmare for you. And it was, because I definitely was like that, you know. I mean, and I think a lot of it was kind of the same as being a detailer, right? Like, you think you do this kick-ass, you know, job or whatever, and then you go on Facebook and you see, you know, somebody like the Shine Doctor on that green 50s. I don't know if you saw that video he put up, that it's like a 50s style Chevy or whatever, or maybe it's a old school Ford F-150. Like, he, you know, made it perfect, like he like only he does, you know. And then you're like, fuck, what am I doing, you know? and that was the same thing. Like, I watched these guys like Tony Kiger and Mike Norg and, you know, whoever on doing PPF, and I'm just like, god dang, man, it's, you know, like,
it's a pain in the ass.
Yeah. And then on top of that, like, I got too much anxiety over the plotting. I hated weeding because I was always afraid that I was gonna tear the film or something. And
I lost so, more film plotting and setting up the plotter when I first started than I did when I was pulling off. But then I went through Expel when I did my training.
Okay.
And it with Expel, like, when I'm studying for something or I'm really into something, like, I turn everything in the outside world off. Yeah. I barely talked to Candace while I was in San Antonio. I literally either had food delivered to the hotel or went next door to 7-Eleven where I was staying at. Like, I didn't do nothing. I went out with Tyler Tosh to eat one night. The last night I was there. And then I took the test and I waited till, and they actually, like, if you didn't pass the test, you had to take the whole thing over again, pay for your flight, pay for your stay and everything. Film. So I went, took the test. I waited till everybody took their test, chose the hardest bumper in the course to take the test on, and scored the highest in the class. And I did that. I waited till last on purpose to see where I would stand.
Right. Yeah.
I went straight out of class and I was like, I got this. First week back, I scheduled a full Model Y for all PPF, full body PPF, and a six Corvette for a front clip. Dumb idea. And my rep at the time was like, you know, I'm all hyped up. I'm like, yeah, I got like a 98 in the class. Everybody, you know, the closest guy was like a 92, 93. And I'm like, everybody else was in, you know, the 80s. I'm like, yeah. I blew through it. Da, 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 da. I did the best in the class. And he's like, trust me, you did great, but you're not ready. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm ready. I won. I'm ready.
Yeah.
I was not ready. I got my ass handed to me. And it cost me a little bit of money on the first week, but I got them done.
Yeah, it's I finally just gave up, man. I talked to enough people that were like, you know, I talked to a few people and they were just like, dude, just find somebody you can like sub it out to. And the other thing too was I wasn't getting a lot of calls for it, you know. And it's crazy because like I was marketing it, you know, like I have a page on my website, you know, we had it in the marketing and all that stuff, and just wasn't getting calls for it, you know, to like get the practice that I really needed to get good, you know. I mean, like, I still feel pretty good about it because I did my training at kind of the end of 2020. I found the guy local who came to my shop and trained me, of course, because, you know, it was COVID, nobody was doing trainings. Was Eastman East Coast trainer at one point, and then he left and, you know, did his own thing. So he trained me, you know, and I did Michelle's SQ5 when we first got it, did the whole front clip, did the rockers, did all the piano black finish pillars, you know, and that still looks great. There's no bubbling. It's not peeling anywhere. You know, like I just saw, one of my clients, I did his, 96, Porsche Targa. So I did that like 2 years ago, I think. And he just came back for me to kind of just do an interior detail on it and kind of just, you know, give it a good wash on the outside, kind of clean up some things because he wanted to start, you know, showing it to, you know, take it to like Cars and Coffee and stuff like that. And so he popped back up and, man, you know, film still looked amazing on it, you know? So I was patting myself on the back. I was like, well, at least I didn't do shit work, you know? Like, the stuff's still holding, yeah. You know? It's not peeling off or any, you know, bubbling or anything like that.
That's where you was talking about the detailer in mind, because a lot of times, like, I'll get finished with something and I'm like, man, it's still got a spot here, a spot there, a spot yeah. there. And then it goes out and it'll sit in the sun a couple times and it comes back for maintenance and I'm looking over it and I'm like, all that shit's gone.
Yeah.
But it still takes, it's like window tinted. Yeah. Sometimes it takes a week for that stuff to come out. And then you're like, oh, well, damn, I was getting ready to replace that. And good thing I didn't, because it all came out.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. So, no, I don't know, man. It's crazy, dude. I watch those guys do it, you know, and it's almost kind of satisfying. But I'm just like, God, like, everybody I watch do it just makes it look so easy. And then I go to do it and I just feel like, you know, like, I'm going to cut the blue wire and it's going to blow up on me or whatever, you know.
I'm just, like I said, I'm 3 years in and I'm just now starting to get more comfortable with it, to where I can read the, because you got to use the left side of your brain that you don't normally use to do PPF, because you got to read the film. You got to read the tack points. You got to know where to move it. You got there's just so much involved.
I'll tell you, that was one of the things that I did enjoy about it, even though it was stressful as shit, is that it does make you think, because you're like, man, I got all these fingers, like, and you're like, you have to kind of sit back and go, okay, why do I have those fingers? You know, and you have to start running through the puzzles, you know, the piecing it together, kind of like you just said, you have to read the film, like, well, you have fingers because it stretched too far this way, so you got to pull it back this side, and, you know, whatever. So I did like that, as stressful as it was, I did like that it made me think, you know, and kind of like problem solving in a way.
I've kind of figured out too, when I've got not as much anymore. I used to have a temper. And those little snap-on lights that are pretty much all my pictures, the ones that go on my neck, but I wear them on my head. I bet you I've thrown 3 or 4 pairs of them and snapped them. So now everybody in the shop knows that when I'm doing PPF to stay away from me. So if it's a big piece, I'll have them help me pick it up off the board, put it on the car.
Yeah.
And the music is cranked up. Front door's locked, so we don't have nobody walk in. Of course, I'm by appointment only,
right?
On the door and everything, but people, we still get everybody coming every day. So lock the front door. I turn the music to the max. They help me pick it up, and then they get away. And I kind of get—I like music. I've always liked music. I deal with everything through music, so I kind of get in the flow with music, and then I can concentrate on the panel and read where it's going and what I need to do with it and everything. But it's literally like, I feel like I don't use that side of my brain until I'm doing PPF.
Right. Yeah, no, because, I mean, sometimes you don't need it with paint correction. I mean, you know, I mean,
that's like a muscle memory for me.
You pretty much know which pad, which compound you're going to go with. You kind of know, like, all right, I'll give it a couple of up and downs and back and forths and see, no, I need to go a little bit more. Yep, that was perfect. And then you could just buzz around the rest of the car. But, you know, that's where, you know, I'm with you on that one. You know, you definitely are using a different mindset when you're doing PPF versus when you're doing paint correction. I'm not doing it anymore. You know, part of me is kind of like, maybe one day, but
those paychecks are nice, though, once you start getting it down.
You know, they are. That's the whole reason why I wanted to do it in the beginning, was because I did have a guy that I would sub it out to, you know, and really it was a shitty deal on my part. I was just doing it because it was convenience for the client, and so I wouldn't lose the coding job, because, I mean, he was charging full price and, like, wasn't really giving me anything of the deal. You know, but, like, I would look at it and I'd be like, you know, this guy's getting $2,000 and he's coming to my shop and spending a day and a half in my shop, you know, eating up my time and everything. I'm not getting anything out of it. You know, he's not, you know, he's not really offering me anything out of it. And, you know, and I'm not one of those types of people where I'm like, hey, man, give me some money or else, you know, kind of thing. I'm just, you know, again, like I said, for me, it was more of a convenience. You know, the client's like, you know, because I didn't want them to go somewhere else that they get the PPF done, and then that person be like, oh yeah, I'll ceramic coat it for you, and then I lose the ceramic coating job, right? So I was looking at it as like, well, at least I'm getting my $2,000 to $2,500, you know, even though, you know, he's not, you know, kicking me back anything. But that's kind of where I looked at it. I was like, Jesus, I could be getting $5,000 off this car instead of just $2,500. But then again, the mental stress of it was, I was like, fuck that $2,500. Let somebody else do it. Like, I'll just stick to my
code. I started out pretty much the same way. I had a guy that I was subbing to, and he was great at it, but I was basically bringing the car in. If he was doing a front clip, I'd wash, decon it, get it all ready, paint correct the front clip, get it ready for him. And his shop wasn't too far from mine, so I would take the client's car to his shop. And of course, okay, they knew that everything was going on. Now I don't drive client cars at all, except for inside and outside the shop. But I would take him the car. He'd have it for 2-3 days or whatever, bring it back. I'd paint correct the rest of it, coat the rest of it. And then I was only making $200 to $500 a car. And I'm like, man, this. And then my one of my big mentors is real big in PPF. And that's mainly all he does anymore is PPF. And he was like, man, you need to take that jump. And I'm like, nah, man, he does good work. You know, same thing as you. I don't want to miss this job because I don't want to do PPF. You know, to me, it was similar to vinyl. I'm like, I can't put a sticker on a damn window and it'd be straight without a bubble in it. Exactly. Like, I can't do clear stickers on cars either. And of course, my mentor was like, yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. It's the next step in business anyways. And I did that class and I was like, yeah, I got this. Here comes the next 2 years, get my ass. But it probably would have been not as bad, but I would do a job, get my ass kicked, take a couple weeks off. And I'm like, Candace, don't put any PPF on the schedule. I just want to bang out paint corrections and coatings. And I'd be like, all right, I'm ready. And then she put one in there and I get my ass kicked again. I take another month off. Now it got to, I'd say the last year and a half, I'm like, put all the PPFs together. Like, back to back to back to back to back, because I'm going to make myself do them and I'm going to make myself get good at it, because that's the only way. Just doing it and taking a break, doing it and taking a break, I'm not going to get good at it. And I've really gotten more comfortable and a whole lot better at it since I've been forcing myself, like, oh, you want front clip? Come on. Oh, you want a front car? Come on. Oh, let's put them all together, Candace. And she's like, all right, you sure? And I'm like, yep, just do it.
Yeah, and that's the thing everybody was telling me. You know, they're like, dude, you got to just keep at it. You got to keep at it. You got to keep at it. And I was like, I understand that. But I was like, at the time, I was doing more corrections and coatings than I was even having phone calls for PPF, right? So I was like, I'm not going to, like, turn down these $2,000 coating jobs, you know, to even try to get a PPF job. Like, I wasn't really getting any. And they're like, you know, and everybody was kind of like, yeah, you know, you just got to make time. Even if it's just working on your car, you got to take one day a week. And, you know, even if it's just putting foam on a door on your car, just over and over and over and over and over and over again. And I was like, but I can't, like, I'm, you know, cause it was, like I said, I mean, I did this in, you know, the end of 2020. So 21, 22, you know, we were all eating good at that time because everybody was doing, spending money on their cars, you know, because there still was no travel, there was no new cars being produced. So, you know, everybody was putting money into their cars. So detailers were, you know, eating at that point. And I was like, I'm not going to stop eating just, you know, to try and do this. I'll figure it out. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing. So I think you're doing it right, you know, that way, by just scheduling them all back to back to back, because then it keeps you just constantly getting better and honing that craft and you know, getting it to where you're perfect. The other part that I couldn't get out of, and it's, you know, and it's weird because, like, I know it is, you know, because again, like, you see these guys on, you know, social media that are just, you know, amazing at it. And I couldn't get over the, it's paint protection film, not paint perfection film, right? Because on social media, it is paint perfection film, you know, it's gotta be perfect. It's gotta be, you know, like, you can't tell that it's there or whatever. And just like, I feel like with paint, right, swirls and things like that, majority of clients don't see swirls like we do. They don't see that micromarring like we do, right? So if you don't do an absolute perfect job on film, they're not going to see it like we will, you know? Yeah, you're going to get some that, you know, watch the videos or seen the seen some really good, you know, and they'll spot some stuff or whatever, but for the most part, you know, and I just couldn't get over that. Yeah, it is what it is. So
I hope I can get somebody here to do it for me so I don't have to do it as much. But then again, it's, you know, I've been buffing cars for so long, I got carpal tunnel so bad, it's easier on my hands. And really, if you, once you start practicing, you start getting faster at it. Like, I can do a front clip in 2 days, and then I usually schedule them for three, so I let a day for it to dry out, and then it goes. Versus, you know, I can do paint corrections and coatings faster, but I usually schedule them 2 to 3 days per vehicle as well. But just continually doing it and cracking at it is what's helped. And another, if you tell me I can't do something, I'm going to go do it anyway. So Thomas Sanders is one of my mentors in Dothan, Alabama, one of my best friends. He knows how to work me and to get me to do stuff. And I'd call him almost before every single PPF job, probably the first 2 years, like, all right, I need a pep talk. What's the best way to go about this? What about this vent? Da, 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 da. And he'd be like, all right, you need to stretch it here. You need to put it here, blah, blah, blah. And I forgot. Oh, it was an F-250 when the Super Duty F-250s came out with the Super Duty that's in the hood.
Yep.
Oh my God, that hood kicked my ass.
Cause you gotta like get it all.
Yeah. You gotta, I did the, it's called a bulk hybrid. So it's got the Super Duty cut out, but the rest of it's just a big square.
Okay.
And then it's got so many of the dips and curves, and the hood's just, it's all over the place, and you got to be fast squeegeeing it. And I wasn't ready for it. And it just kept on kicking my ass. And I called him up and I'm like, dude, I cannot get this hood. I was like, I can't get it. The rest of the truck looks phenomenal. I can't get this hood. And he's like, well, call the customer up, tell him you can't do it. And I said, that's absolutely not going to happen. I'm already, you know, the truck's ready to be coated. Everything's put on it that's PPF except for the hood. I can't get the hood. He said, call him, tell him you can't do it. I said, hold on, I'm going to go do it. And I went out there and got the hood because he knows how to work me up and do it. I did the same thing on when the C8 Z06s first came out.
Uh-huh.
Had one of the first ones in the area, and it was the Z07 package with the carbon fiber winglets on the bumper. Yep. We didn't have a pattern for that yet. And I called Thomas up, and I'm like, hey, man, what the hell do I do with this winglet on the side? He's like, you're going to have to push it down, push the film down in there and cut. Or I hate cutting on cars.
Yeah.
I'm good at it now, but I hate cut. I still don't like to do it. And I'm like, you want me to cut on a $185,000 car? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. And it's black. And he was like, well, call the customer, tell him you can't do it. I said, fuck you, Thomas. And I got off the phone, went back there and did it on the first rip. And I called him back up. So I got it. He's like, that's why I did that. But if some of my mentors, if it wouldn't be for them doing that stuff, I would have gave up PPF the first year.
Yeah.
It's stressful.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. Well, listen, man, let's do our last commercial break and then we'll come back and we'll wrap this up. Be right back. All right. Your ultimate partner in automotive detailing. Elevate your detailing game with our premium microfiber towels and applicators, meticulously crafted for protection. Unleash the power of precision and achieve that showroom shine. Autofiber, where innovation meets immaculate finish. Upgrade your detailing experience today. Visit autofiber.com and use the code DSP for 10% off your order. The difference is in the details. All right. All right, Matt. So this is the question time. So I've got these new questions I've been asking everybody, switching it up this year. So we're gonna make you think a little bit here. So the first one is the Groundhog Day question. You ever seen the movie Groundhog Day with Bill Murray, where he gets stuck in Groundhog Day, has to live it over and over and over and over again. So you're stuck in Groundhog Day. You're living the same day over and over and over and over again. So after you get past obviously wanting to kill yourself like he did, what's that thing that you would do with your time? Would you do, you know, like he did where he learned to play the piano, became an awesome piano player, go around helping little old ladies change their flat tire every day when they got their flat tire, or whatnot. What's your Groundhog Day look like?
It would probably change up. I'd say if I'm living the same day over and over again, I'm obviously going to include my family first and foremost, because that's always first. But I get a kick off helping. It gives me, like I said, I might be an asshole, but I got a heart of gold. But I like to help others. And by helping, it's more of, I'm not really business mentoring when I help others. I'm more or less like, I took every hard road to get to where I'm at now. I can help you avoid these hard roads. So I think I would probably enjoy getting around, and, you know, if I'm doing the same shit every day, I'd visit different detail shops and help them however I could. And then family time, I'd probably take the family with me, because obviously, like I said, we're going to Rupes next week and wife's going with me. Nice. And I try to include my family as much as possible. But I think I'd probably try to go around and help more people if I got an abundance of time where I'm doing the same thing every day. I really get a high off, not even really, hey man, I just made 150 grand this year, but I don't want you to go down the road that I had to go through to dig myself back out to get to where I'm at now.
Yeah.
I try to help. I know what it took to get through those roads. I don't want to see other people have to navigate that way. I'd rather just, you know, hey, look, I did that. Let's go over here.
No, that's cool. Okay. And then the Back to the Future question. So you have full access to the DeLorean, you go anywhere in time, forwards, backwards. Where are you going and why?
Is it just me?
Yeah. You're Marty in this scenario. Where are you going to go?
I would probably go back to talk to my grandma, just to tell her and show her, you know, where I've been, what I've done. My kids, she died before she had an opportunity to see my kids, because I waited too late to have kids.
Yeah.
I'd say it, either be my grandma or my grandpa, one of the two, just to show them that, hey, look, you know, it was from about 14 to about 27, I wasn't worth a shit. I like to go out and party, get drunk, chase women. I was all over the place, didn't hold a job down. So I'd like to show up and be like, hey, I did something in my life. I made something. I got a good, happy, healthy family. Here's my babies, and let them see my kids.
Nice. So far, everybody's wanted to go back and spend that extra time with a family member, which I think is really cool. I'm still waiting for the person that's actually going to go forward, wants to go forward in time, and for some reason or another. And then last question, what's your death row last meal?
Cheeseburger. I like cheeseburgers.
Any good cheeseburger. About a cheeseburger or just a cheeseburger?
Well, I don't eat. I'm not like one of those guys that eats all kinds of shit on his cheeseburger, but like that's the top of my food chain. I love cheeseburgers.
Like cheeseburger, steak. Cheeseburger from somewhere special, or just it doesn't matter. Just
if I could have my last wish, and it could be somewhere it's closed.
Yeah,
there was a place locally called Jenny's Diner that had I think it was called the Big Daddy Cheeseburger, and it was one of those huge cheeseburgers, like 2.5 pounds or something. And if you could eat all the cheeseburger and the fries, your meal was free. Uh-huh. And I did it on my 19th birthday. I can't eat like that anymore. 19th birthday, and then I think when I turned 20 they closed down, but they had the best hamburger that I've ever had in my life. I'd love to have another one from her, but they're long gone. They've been gone for probably 20 years.
Oh wow. All right, Matt, that's it, buddy. That is your time. I appreciate you coming on and doing this. You know, I'm glad you hit up on the thing, because you are somebody that, you know, this podcast is one of those things where, like, you know, there's so many people I want to talk to. I know the people that I want to talk to, but like a lot of times when I'm like looking for a guest, like I'm blanked out, and I'm just like kind of scrolling through, like looking for somebody that I haven't had on that could be interesting or whatever. And And it's, you know, it just totally blanks on me, you know? And so like I said, you know, you're somebody I've wanted to have on, but it's just, your name's just always blanked on me for one reason or another. So I'm so glad that you were, you know, put on there, commented on the virtual sign up sheet. So for everybody listening, I'm tired of trying to go hunt people down. You want to come on the show, go to the Detail Solutions podcast, the discussion page, pinned at the top is a virtual sign up sheet. Just say you're in, and I'll message you and we'll schedule some time. I'd rather get these more booked out than trying to do them kind of last minute like I normally do from now on out. But thank you again, man, for doing this. It's awesome hearing your story, man. You know, we've known each other for a bit. You know, we don't talk a super ton, but you know, I'm always you know, checking out your stuff, dude. You do great work and everything like that. So you know, I appreciate you, man. Thanks.
I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, man. So listen, if anybody wanted to reach out to you and just pick your brain or talk to you or something like that, that maybe doesn't know who you are, like, what's the best place to find you? Where's all your ats?
You can either at Goods Custom Garage on Facebook or Instagram. You can go to Matthew Good on Facebook. I'm always down to help. Hopefully, like I said, there's some young kid out there that's just starting and just heard my starting story. And he's like, well, damn, I ain't got it that bad. And he keeps going too, because that's life. So anybody has any questions, we get them all the time. I'm not as much in the groups. Because it's just drama. I'm too old for that shit. But a lot of people do reach out to me. I've had two this week, actually. One of them, I don't even know who the hell it was, but they called and asked me just simple detailing questions about an older car, because they knew I grew up around old cars and worked on a lot of older cars. And I don't mind that stuff at all. Like, I enjoy helping. The Facebook drama and the groups, it's not for me. I ain't got time for it. I'm trying to get paid. But anybody that ever wants to reach out, got any, I might not be the best business mentor. I'm a hell of a life coach, because I've done it all. You got any questions, reach out to me. I'll help whoever I can.
Awesome, buddy. Well, listen, man, I appreciate you coming on, man. Thanks again. You have a great Easter weekend. Try not to eat too much of your kids' Easter basket.
Can't guarantee that. Bad tax.
Exactly. All right, buddy. I'll talk to you later, man. Take care.
You too.
Bye. All right. So that was Matthew Good. He's a solid dude. Like I said, I've known Matthew for a while. We've kind of chatted here and there on Messenger, whatnot. Finally got the chance to actually meet him in person at SEMA, him and his wife, and had a nice good talk with them at SEMA. So it was great to have him on the show and kind of hear his backstory and all the hardships and everything that he's gone through. Seems like he's, you know, kind of come out on the other side pretty good. So that's awesome. Love that. If you're still watching this far, nobody watches this far, but you know, we got the wax, the Red Delight, now available if you're interested. Like I said, $60 shipped anywhere inside the continental United States, anywhere outside. Let me know. I'll have to figure out what shipping is, and we'll get you taken care of. It is limited, and there's limited numbers left, probably like 30 left available. So message me, let me know. We'll get you taken care of. All right. That is it for this episode. I appreciate every single one of you guys and gals that listen to us, or listen to me, rather. Y'all have a great day, weekend, night, whenever you're listening to this. And until next time, take care. Bye.